Good morning. A very warm welcome to worship on this beautiful bank holiday Sunday. And a welcome to any who are listening to this on the recording later on. And a special word of welcome, as always, to our friends at Carr's Court. Welcome to anybody who may be new or anybody who may be visiting or isn't often with us. There will be coffee afterwards, and please join us. Special word of welcome to Reverend Philip Peacock this morning. It's lovely to see. We don't see you often enough, Philip. It's lovely to see you here.
Thank you.
In terms of additional notices, I was happy to be able to announce you there are no additional notices. But there is one, which is just to draw your attention to this evening's praise worship, which will be at 7:30. So now a introit from the choir, and then to Philip.
There'll be some responses on the screen for you to join in with just in a moment as I light these three candles. I'd like to put the next slide up. We light a flame in the name of God. We light a flame in the name of God.
Whose outstretched arms embrace us all.
We light a flame in the light of God.
Who draws us into the circle of love.
We sing our praise of God as we join in singing from Singing the Faith, number 6, Father, we love you. Short prayer, let us pray. May the flame of the Spirit touch our souls. The light of Christ's truth fill our minds. And the love of the Maker fill our hearts as we worship together this day. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, if you didn't know that it was Trinity Sunday, Sunday after Pentecost. So our thoughts are around that theme today. I'll begin just with a short story. A story about a group of people who were about to redecorate, reimagine their worship space. And they were talking about producing a stained glass window. And each of the people there were asked to think of a colour which reminded them of God. And one of the people there said, well, when I think of God, I like to think of the colour red. Because the Spirit of God is talked about in the Bible as coming like tongues of flame. And I think of red when I think of flames. And also, the Spirit is talked about as being one that purifies and cleanses. And it's like a fire in what it does, what he does. So the Spirit for that person was red. Another person, though, suggested, well, it might be that that yellow is the colour I'd like to use when I think about God, because I think of Jesus as the light of the world, burning like a candle with a yellow light. And if we have a stained glass window, then the sun can shine through, and that yellow will fill the space in which we are. And then another person said, well, when I think of God, I like to think of blue, because the blue reminds me of the sea and the sky and God's creative power. So the people, they had different ideas about what colours they might put in this window, and they talked about it. And the artist who was with them took these colours, the red, the blue and the yellow, and put them together into a beautiful window, which had patches of yellow and blue and red, but also had places where the colours overlapped, so that the orange and purple and green appeared, and in the centre something of an emerald green. And when people looked at the window and looked at the design, they felt, well, that looks wonderful, especially where the colours interplay. Because when we have those colours combining, we see depth and richness and beauty that we wouldn't see if any of those colours were on their own. And so the window was made, and people reflected upon those colours of God, and especially remembered the different parts of God that those colours represented. Simple picture for us to think about God in different ways. We all have our own visions of God, thinking about how he appears to us. But when we think of God as Father, as God as Son, as God of Holy Spirit, when we combine all those thoughts together, our picture of God is much more rich and wide and broad than it could ever be if we only had experienced God in one of those ways. So we join together in a prayer as a response to the prayer. After each line, the response is, we will walk with you. Loving God, you call us on a journey with you.
We will walk with you.
Great God, give us your strength.
We will walk with you.
Loving Jesus, show us your love. Holy Spirit, burn within us. Amen. We're going to sing again of our God who has revealed himself in three ways. We're going to use Singing the Faith number 753. We've added additional verses which will pick up different aspects of God. Glory to God.
Glory to God, glory to God.
Share the grace together as an expression of wanting to give one another the blessing of God. So we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis 18, and it's the start of the story of Sarah, told in beautiful biblical language. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up, saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favour with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. They took curds and milk and the calf that they prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, Oh yes, you did laugh. Amen.
Going to join in saying together some words from the Te Deum. On the screen, once it comes up, I'll say the words in white, and if any male voices would like to join me in saying the words in white, and then if the female voices would like to respond with, we acclaim you as the Lord. We praise you, O God.
We acclaim you as the Lord.
All creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, the cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
The glorious company of the apostles praise you.
The noble fellowship of the prophets praise you.
The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father.
When you took our flesh to set us free, you humbly chose the virgin's womb.
You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers.
You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our
Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood.
And bring us with your saints to glory everlasting.
We'll now hear our gospel reading.
Gospel reading is taken from Mark. Mark chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. On those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Amen.
Sing of a God in majestic divinity. We sing from Singing the Faith number 13, 1-3. As I've said already, today is Trinity Sunday, and it gives us an opportunity to think about the doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I want to explore two ideas today and consider the implications of them, which relate not only to our individual lives or the life of the church, but also to the life of the wider world. I can claim no expertise or knowledge in the field of art. But what I do know is that over the years I've been drawn more to it and found it quite stimulating in terms of my faith, because I've been fascinated to see how artists have chosen to represent Christ or events from the biblical narrative. And obviously as they've done that, various layers of interpretation have been going on. You may have seen paintings which portray the baptism of Jesus, which was the subject of our first reading. There's one by Adam Altsheimer which shows the human Jesus having water poured over his head by John the Baptist and a dove representing the Holy Spirit coming down upon him from a cloud. And in that cloud you can make out the form of childlike angels and a man with a beard, presumably representing God the Father. I've not got a large version of that picture, but this painting by Murillo gives it a similar sort of idea. It's called The Heavenly and Earthly Trinities, and it doesn't relate to a specific event in Jesus' life, but it does represent the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Here we've got the child Jesus, we've got the dove above him, and we've got the Father in heaven above that. I know you can't see that very well, but it's a representation in art of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, if I think about that particular painting, I think there's something of a hierarchy going on within that relationship of the persons of the Trinity as we describe them. Because there it almost seems that God the Father is first, high and above, that Jesus below and the dove below are secondary to him. And sometimes I think within the life of the church we might also have a hierarchy in thinking that the Spirit is somewhat less important or less significant than the Father and the Son. But if we reflect upon that sort of hierarchy in the light of the Bible and Christian tradition, we might see that sort of hierarchy which perhaps comes across to us. In the Bible, we may consider Jesus to be second to the Father because he's the Son. He's the one the Father sends. He submits to his Father's will. And also, the Spirit is sent by the Father or breathed out by the Son upon his disciples. And in that way, perhaps the Spirit is seen to be secondary to the Father and the Son. In the Nicene Creed, which you may be familiar with, there's a clause called the Filioque clause, which talks about the Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son. Again, seemingly suggesting that the Spirit is secondary to them. And in the Orthodox Church, we also have that Filioque clause in a slightly different way, because there it suggests that the Spirit comes from the Father alone. That the Father perhaps is more important than the Son. Anyway, that's sort of zooming through quite a lot there. But what I'm trying to express to you is the thought of this hierarchy and the difference between the persons of God which are portrayed to us. But alongside that this morning, what I want to put is a different way in which the Trinity is represented. And I use this icon which you may be familiar with by Rublev from the 15th century. And it's based upon that story we had from Genesis 18 where the three visit Sarah and Abraham. These three people in the Orthodox tradition, in Orthodox spirituality, are representative of the three persons of the Trinity. They're shown seated around a table with a chalice in the middle. And what strikes us here about the Trinity and how it's represented is similarity rather than difference. The colours that the three figures wear differentiate them. On my left-hand side, the Holy Spirit has blue and green in his apparel. Then in the centre we have Jesus with blue in his apparel, and then a translucent robe for the first person of the Trinity on my right. But they still, even though they've got different coloured robes representing different things, they look familiar, they look similar, their faces are similar. There's a suggestion here of similarity rather than difference. So what sort of picture do you have of the Trinity? Do you have a picture of the Trinity which is quite hierarchical? Or is your picture of the Trinity more egalitarian as you think about Father, Son and Holy Spirit? It seems to me that there's lots of ways that this egalitarian picture of the Trinity can be undermined. For instance, in different denominations we might say that more stress might be placed upon one person of the Trinity than another. So we might say, well, in the Pentecostal and house churches, perhaps the Holy Spirit is being given preeminence, with emphasis on spiritual gifts. In evangelical churches, we might say that the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus and what he has accomplished through his life, death and resurrection is at the heart, where Jesus, if you like, is put on the pedestal. Perhaps in more established churches, the focus is more on God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. Or we might reflect upon how in some churches a lack of teaching on the Holy Spirit may almost lead us to a position where we're not thinking about a Trinity or a Trinity, but a binity. And when we sing the songs and hymns that we sing, we can find there the balance perhaps upset to some extent. We talk about lifting Jesus high, declaring that his name is more important than any other. And perhaps that almost seems to exclude the Father and the Spirit. And so it's interesting, isn't it, as we reflect upon what we do in worship and how we do it. What would an uninitiated observer make of it all? Would they see that the Trinity is at the heart of what we believe? Because it's important, isn't it, that we make sure that those complementary roles of the person to the Trinity are there at the heart of what we of how we worship. As we think about those great themes of creation, of redemption, of renewal, which are all part of the activity of God in the life of in our lives and in the life of the world. So it's important that we are Trinitarian in the way that we approach our faith. But we can also see how that might reflect or impact our thoughts about the world and our relationship with it. Because if the Trinity is an equality of persons, then that should in some way give us a basis of thinking about our relationships in the world. If we think about equality rather than hierarchy, then it would suggest that our relationships generally should be more egalitarian within the whole human race. And so when we think about movements for equality, we should recognise these as being valid progressions about how things should be. And so it seems that democracy is to be more highly valued than autocracy. And hence apartheid or anti-Semitism or other systems which oppress a particular race, well, they need challenging on the basis of this relationship picture that we have of God. Or the fact that women still find themselves paid less for men in equivalent work, well, that's disgraceful in our world today. Equal work should deserve equal pay. Or, which has been something that's been in the news of late again, if you're deciding factoring, choosing an applicant for a university place and putting one person above another is because of their class background or their ethnicity, then, you know, that needs challenging. It should not be like that. People should be treated equally. So if we think of an equality picture of God, then as we think about the way we behave in the church and valuing each other and respecting one another and treating each other equally, we also need to see that moving out into the way that we think about our relationships with others in the world at large. So I've started to talk about relationship in a sense in some of the things that I've just said, stemming from that thought about the equality of the persons of God. But I want to think about these relationships a bit more. I think one of the significant things to me that was said to me about the Trinity some time ago was that when God created humankind, he didn't create humankind in order for him to be able to have a relationship with others, because within the persons of the Trinity there is a relationship already there, a dynamic that's already existing, and all of God's needs, if you like, with respect to relationship are fulfilled within that Trinity of persons. God didn't need to make humankind, but out of his generosity and his graciousness, he chose to do that, and we can be in relationship with him too. But the dynamic that exists between the three persons of the Trinity, it's to do with a relationship of love, a relationship of giving and receiving within that context. A long time ago now, I did some studies upon personhood and how personhood is formed. And within that, one of the continually repeating patterns was to say that our selfhood, our personhood, is shaped and formed through the relationships that we have with other people. In other words, the people we become are determined by parental influence, by the relationships we have with friends and teachers, by partners, by those within the religious community, and so on. And those relationships which form us for better or for worse. What was interesting in terms of the theological material that I read, and among that was reports from the Methodist Conference. Yes, Methodist Conference reports do have good stuff in them here and there. That what was expressed was this perfect model of relationship, a perfect relationship of love, upon which all our relationships should be based as we reflect upon how we relate to one another. If all our interactions with others were based on that kind of foundation, then we would only be shaping other people for better. We would not be shaping them in any negative way. but we will be shaping them for the better, so that their personhood, so that their selfhood, so that their identity could develop in a positive way. As a church, we're meant to be a community that shapes people for the better. And we should be aiming at being a community where that model of the relationship of love within the Trinity is displayed. Because when we don't do that, we can impair or thwart the growth of other people. It's a sad thing to reflect upon some of the ways in which the church has sometimes become a place where individual development has not been facilitated, when power has been abused, when lives have been damaged through thoughtless words or actions, when people have been indoctrinated and not allowed to think for themselves, when people haven't been given the opportunity to contribute to the life of the community, when their gifts have not been used. All of those reasons for us to ask for God's forgiveness. Reasons for us to recognise that there's much to be on our guard against. Reasons to spur us on to be creating a more loving and flourishing community where people can grow and blossom. As individuals, we can recognise how important it is for us to be careful in our interactions with others, because the way we are with them have a bearing upon the people that they become. And so more broadly, we can think about parenthood and how parents should aim to develop with their children involved loving relationships, because they desire the best for them. Those who are married, they need to seek a place within that marriage as a place where love can grow, where people can flourish, where healing and forgiveness can be found, where there is wholeness and maturity developing. People in their working relationships should speak and act with the other person's well-being in mind. And people, and obviously as I keep saying people, I'm including ourselves among us, in our friendships we should seek to be ready to give ourselves to others, that we are really good friends to them. In all the relationships we have, we are affecting the sort of people other people are becoming. With respect to that Rublev as icon, there are those who like to stress that there's a circle there, a circle within the Trinity. But some people like to say, well, it doesn't actually represent a circle, but it represents the letter C. And there's a gap in that circle. And the invitation is there for us as individuals, as people, to complete that circle. And as we complete that circle, we seek to draw upon all the resources that God offers to us. And so as we are invited to become part of that circle, as we're communing with God, as we're developing our relationship with God, we can recognise how we can open ourselves to all sorts of influences to help that to happen. So in our prayer, in our worship, in our Bible study, in our receiving communion and the like, we should be opening ourselves to God, that He in His love and His embrace might help bring us to be the people that He wants us to be. People who are loved and cherished and can share His love with others. Well, I thought a little bit about two themes today about the Trinity. Hopefully it's not been too heavy going. Because so when you think about the Trinity, it's not an easy subject to grasp. But what I've tried to home in on are thinking about relationships in the Trinity as being egalitarian, equal. And also I've been trying to think about that relationship dynamic and that model of perfect love that the Trinity gives us. And from those starting points, I've tried to think about the implications of that for us as individuals and as a church, and to think about the wider world. And so may God, who has revealed Himself as a Trinity of persons in loving relationship with each other, may God inspire us with His life, work in us that we may grow as human beings, and work through us that others may also be shaped for the good. Amen. We pause just for a moment's reflection and then I'll lead us in a prayer of confession. After the words, loving God, can you please respond, forgive us? When we lose faith in the goodness of creation and in your parent-like love, loving God, when we lose faith in Jesus as the true reflection of all that you are, loving God, when we lose faith in the Holy Spirit's presence with us, helping, strengthening, guiding, loving God. When we have sought to dominate others and forgotten the way of servanthood, loving God. When we have been lazy in our relationships and not made time for others, loving God, forgive us. When we have neglected the means of grace and not allowed our lives to be shaped by you, loving God. Father God, you have created all things and through Christ revealed your salvation in all the world. Give us a vision of your glory and by your Holy Spirit fill us with life and love that we may praise and serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. One God, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing a version of a creed of the church. We believe in God the Father, 764, from Singing the Faith. we respond further to God as we pray together. First of all, a prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Spirit of creation. You moved across the void, shaping form out of chaos, pulsating light in darkness, energizing life out of dust. Blessed are you, Spirit of redemption. You came to your own world, becoming flesh for those in the control of evil, becoming light for those in the ways of darkness, becoming life to those in the shadow of death. Blessed are you, God, Spirit of renewal. You flow into this age, breathing life into those who believe, streaming power into those who receive, kindling love in those who respond. Spirit of creation, Spirit of redemption, Spirit of renewal, we offer you our thanks and praise. And then we think about others in our prayers. After the words God, Creator, Redeemer and Renewer, the response is we ask for new life in you. God the Creator, bless us. God the Creator, we pray for the world, brought to birth by your love, where your children fight and kill, die of hunger and disease, oppress and exploit one another. We pray especially today for the tensions in Israel-Palestine. And we pray too for those seeking to address the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We pray too for the Methodist Relief and Development Fund, now called All We Can, as that charity partners with others to bring hope and healing to those in need. God, Creator, Redeemer and Renewer, we ask for new life in you. God the Redeemer, protect us. God the Redeemer, we pray for humankind, whose joys and pains you came in love to share, and who are still in need of repentance and forgiveness, of healing and comfort, of faith and hope. We pray for those we know in particular need, for the bereaved, those sick, those facing crises of one kind or another. And we pray for John Bourne and ask that your loving arms may surround him, and that you may support with your love and strength his family and friends in their concern for him. God, Creator, Redeemer and Renewer, we ask for new life in you. God the Renewer, guide us. God among us, we pray for the church, which you have created, sustained and filled with your love, asking that you will give us vision and courage, unity with one another, and strength to serve you in the world. We pray especially that you will help us to seek justice for all. And that we will not only seek to be compassionate to those who are in need, but work to train structures and systems which oppress and deny life. And we pray for the community here, that we may indeed seek to build one another up in love, that we may seek to help others achieve their potential, that we will seek to include all in all the ways that we can, to praise you and serve you. Creator God, Redeemer and Renewer, we ask for new life in you. God the Creator, bless us. God the Protector, redeem us. God the Renewer, guide us, now and evermore. Amen. We draw our prayers together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now we receive our offering. Generous God, all that we have comes from you, and of your own do we give you. Receive these gifts and gifts given by other means, that they may be used wisely in the work of your church and this community. And take our lives too. Shape us by your love, and help us to embody that love in our relationships within this community and beyond. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We sing "There Is a Redeemer," singing the faith 338. Go in the name of the Father, who created and nurtured us. Go in the name of the Son, Jesus our Lord, who taught and teaches us. Go in the name of the Holy Spirit, who inspires and burns within us. Go in the presence of the three in one. Amen.